Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Kill the Bat of Gotham. I'm Batman.
Hey now, welcome to episode number 7 of the Batman on Film Social Hour. I am the founder of Batman on Film, Bill Jett Ramey, and get you something to drink, whatever you like. Adult beverage, water, coffee, tea, milk, whatever. And hang around with us for the next 30 minutes or so as we talk about some Batman-related stuff. And I'll tell you specifically what we're going to talk about here in just a second. But I want to remind you that Batman on Film is part of the Batman Podcast Network. We're also the host of the Batman Podcast Network. And you can check out all the sites at batmanpodcastnetwork.com. And there's a couple new shows I want to bring up. Let's see. My son's now on there. Micah Ramey has the Hippie and Cowboy podcast. You can check it out. It's a podcast focused on developing high-level content about video games, film, music, by providing insight into many overlooked parts of the entertainment industry. So, if you like what we do here at Batman on Film, whether it be the social hour, our podcast, our written features, reviews, comic book reviews like my two buddies here I'm about to introduce do, Funko Pop video breakdown reviews, all kind of stuff. We got all kind of stuff on Batman on Film. You can help us keep things going, becoming a Patreon, patreon.com/Batman on Film. So with enough of me yammering on, I'm joined today by Pete Vera and Ryan Lauer. Boys, how are y'all?
I'm doing good. I know Lauer's about his third Mountain Dew in right now, so I feel like he's got a lot of energy.
I'm doing great. I've got H2O. I haven't cracked open the Dew yet, Pete, but soon, you wait. That's going to fill up my
Batman. Is it too early for the Dew?
It's never too early for the Dew.
I gave up all Cokes, as we say in Texas. Everything, you know, all sodas, soda pops or Cokes, excuse me, in Texas. I gave all that up about 5 or 6 years ago. I haven't had a carbonated soft drink and that since then. I used to be addicted to Diet Coke. I'm not gonna bullshit you. So
Bill, we go to that BOF watch party.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer with you and then we'll have a Dew together. Okay. We'll cheers to a Mountain Dew.
All right. That's a hell of a chaser. You have a Miller Lite followed by Mountain Dew.
Is there some sort of shot that can be created with Mountain Dew?
Pete asked this too. He said, what goes with Mountain Dew? Anything goes with Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Any kind of rum or vodka, you name it. It goes down smooth.
And so, in college, I was a Mountain Dew guy, studying, staying up late, doing all-nighters on for tests and so forth.
The years before Red Bull, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We're talking mid to late 80s. All right. So, what we're going to talk about today is the new trailer for, is this the only trailer, guys?
The second.
Okay. Because there was one at, for Fandom, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the final trailer for, I should say it like this, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Loud and proud.
Don't spit out that beverage there, Ryan Lauer. Okay. Because this is an audio only version of the BOF Social Hour, so I'm trying to generate what the artwork and the title art looks like for that film. Am I being a little bit too sarcastic, or am I doing it? Am I giving it proper description?
Well, I think maybe like in the background behind our audio, we should have somebody going, Zack Snyder, Zack Snyder, Zack Snyder, Zack Snyder, just to remind us.
Oh, jeez.
It's Zack Snyder's Justice
League. I mean, you watch this thing. You don't need any reminder who made it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to talk about the new trailer. And I'm going to listen more than I am going to. I'm going to listen and ask questions. I'm going to be like Larry King, the late, great Larry King. So,
all right.
Just for reference and full disclosure, both Pete and Ryan are fans of Batman v Superman. I despise that film. I'd rather watch Batman Returns on a 24-hour loop back to back than watch BVS again.
I like both those films.
So,
well, I also think a great disclaimer with that, Bill, is we know how you feel. You know how Pete and I feel.
Yeah.
And yet we have never, ever gotten into it.
No.
Over our differences on movies. So
no.
That it just kind of it boggles my mind.
I get why the people who like it. Mm-hmm. I know that you two get why the people who don't like it don't like it. And you also, Pete said in our last, was it a social hour or was it a podcast? But Pete said, I'm a realist. You know, I get it. I'm in the minority. I understand. I deal in reality, you know? So that's the thing. Let's be honest. BVS disappointed on multiple levels. It's why we got the Justice League that we got in theaters. And frankly, it's why Justice League that we got in theaters performed like it did, because no one knew. I don't care what anybody says. No one knew overall that film was not going to be Zack Snyder's vision completed by Joss Whedon, as all involved in that production said. Warner Brothers, I mean everybody. And I say everybody, I mean everybody. So infer. Use your inferencing skills, folks. All right. So, Ryan, I'll let you go first. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I thought this was a better trailer than the one that they released at Fandom. I thought Fandom, that one actually didn't really do anything for me. I think a lot of the stuff that we saw is we've seen it before, whether it was in trailers or certain shots that were used in the theatrical released Justice League. It was just kind of filtered through the Snyder lens this time around. And of course, the context, all that. But I'm just like, oh, yeah, we've seen that shot. We've seen that shot. Oh, here's a new one. Here's a new one. Here, we've seen that shot. I guess for me and what I like, it was like, I'd say, yeah, it was good. It seemed like the trailers that we saw for BVS. My only thing is, I think 4 years ago, I'd have been more excited for this. Coming off BVS than I am now, because I've kind of moved on and leaving any other internet shenanigans, all that out of it. It's just, I think I kind of moved on to something else. And now we're going back, and I'm kind of like, okay. I mean, I'm trying to get myself more excited for it, but overall it was like kind of what I expect it to look like, the vibe and all that stuff. Like it seems like Zack Snyder's DC movies.
It's 100% what I expect it to look like. Pete, what you got, sir?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, Lauer and I are pretty much on the same page here. excuse me. I watched it and I remember like it just didn't move the needle. I just kind of was like, meh. And first time I watched it on my phone. And I was like, all right, let me watch it on the computer and see if that does anything for me. And it really didn't. And I'm actually kind of surprised. I like Snyder's movies. I like you said earlier, I enjoy BVS and Man of Steel. So I was into this. But like, I think I've just kind of moved on. You know, like I compare this... I'll compare it to the Batman. Like when I saw the Batman Fandom trailer, like I lost it. I was like, oh wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I watched this and I'm just like, I don't know if I'm into it. Like I thought there were cool parts of it. Like the Superman scream going across the world. I thought that was cool. I've actually think Steppenwolf's design has kind of grown on me a little bit. I really was surprised at how much I didn't like what Leto was doing in that quick cameo. I was like, wow, I thought I like Leto's Joker and I've defended it for years. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I know it's a quick clip, but I'm like, this just, his voice and it just seeing it in motion, like a popular Paul Herman phrase. I was like, wow, I'm not really feeling this. And I was surprised at how I was just kind of meh, you know? And I don't know. And to me, this seems like I'm watching him like, everyone keeps claiming, oh, this is a different movie. This is a different movie. And I'm like, this just seems like a longer version of what we got. Things are different. There's going to be, you know, it's, but it seems like it's the same type of thing. Like Apocalypse is invading Earth and the Justice League has to stop them. So in essence, it is the same movie, but just different beats. It feels just like a director's cut of a movie to me.
I mean, it's, I think we talked about this a little bit, and y'all please take over and discuss. It can't be that much different plot wise. It's the same plot overall. Yeah. Just a different, more stuff. And I mean, through the lens of Zack Snyder. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Fandom trailer actually had me a little bit more pumped, you know, because it was years in between. Like, you know, we're about three and a half years from the previous version of this movie. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing all the quote unquote mythical footage that we never thought existed. Right. So it's like, oh, wow, this is real. This is really happening. And then this kind of felt like more of a complete trailer in a sense. You know, you're getting voiceovers, you're getting a lot of action shots, you're getting a lot of things. But it just, I don't know, like I just feel like I'm you know, ready to just go on forward and not look back. And
okay,
I'll judge it when I see it. I'm sure I'll enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed everything else. Like, I'm not saying like it's trash, and I'm not going to say anybody who enjoyed it is like ridiculous. I'm mm-hmm. just saying me personally, I didn't feel anything about this at all.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you two this, and please discuss and ask each other questions. Ask me a question if you want to. I didn't notice a lot of different footage. I think a lot of things like we saw a lot of this, you know, I've seen this. Is it just because it's the same, kind of the same movie, you know?
There are things that are new that I've seen that were like leaked out. Like there's a lot of like that prologue. Not prologue, but like this
pre-visualization.
Stuff was released
incomplete.
The incomplete stuff, like Doomsday holding Superman as he screams out Barry and Iris with the car, that was leaked out. It seemed there was like a scene of Cyborg or Victor at the time walking towards the camera that seems like it was leaked out at times and other things. So like, is anything necessarily really new? No, outside of like Steppenwolf without his armor and his kind of rocky face kneeling down at like this video projection of Darkseid, which might actually be the only time we see Darkseid in the movie. I'm just, you know, you're trying to piece it all together, but it looks similar. Cyborg with a bunch of guns was new, but a lot of it looks pretty similar just with the new or the original design of Steppenwolf.
Well, think of like way back when they showed that first trailer, I think at Comic-Con for it or the 3-minute one or something. And there was a shot, for example, in there of like Affleck standing there, his arms crossed, and he's looking at some kind of display of something and it looked like red. And there was always speculation, is that Superman? Is that whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in this trailer, we see that except an extended version of it, of we see the camera go to, oh, Aquaman's there, Wonder Woman's there. And then there's Bruce Wayne. So I think a lot of this stuff is, oh, we saw a small snippet of this clip before. Mm-hmm. So it does seem very much like, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. It's not, oh, my God, brand new. It just seems like, oh, yeah, it's a little longer than what we've seen before.
Because I'm watching it right now. Like the Amazons and the Atlanteans, like that stuff seems new. We've seen the Barry running clip over and over. The Leto clip is new. I showed Lauer earlier in the Art of the Justice League book, you see the Superman in the trailer, you see him fly up. In the book, he's red and blue. In the trailer, he's black. So like, it seems like, you know, if you've been paying attention, you could tell like, oh, Whedon did this. This is what it originally was. Like some of the, cause it's a lot of CGI, it's a lot of green screen. So you can tell.
I did really like a line that came from Jeremy Lyons. Of when he said, if you don't want to, I don't know what he says. It's almost like basically, if you don't want
to. Hold on. Give me a second here to laugh hard about the Jeremy Lyons comment.
I'm just happy Lauer said it and not me. Everyone makes fun of me for mispronouncing people's names. So, you know, you had that one coming, pal.
Sorry, Ron. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
But he said something along the lines of basically, if you don't want to agitate the bull, don't. Like flick the red cape in front of them, and I think that's a good line. I like that line. I think it makes sense.
I dug the Jonathan Kent line. I thought that was really powerful.
It's a little like wink nod of like, you know, talking. It's, you know, if you don't want to piss off the bull, don't throw red in his face.
So it's kind of like here. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like Jim Croce song with the verse. You don't tug on Superman's cape.
Yeah.
You don't spit in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't pull the mask off a Lone Lone Ranger and of course you don't mess around with Jim, you know. So anyway.
But Lauer, like when you hear Jonathan Kent speak as Superman's about to take, I guess, his second flight, I thought that was a pretty good moment. I was like, okay, cool. Like I like that's always kind of been like a layer that went through BVS, and now we're going to get a little bit in Snyder's just.
You know, I can listen to Kevin Costner speak in monologue all day.
It was
that
good.
Guy's I got a good voice. Good. So that's good too. But yeah, I don't know. We shouldn't be surprised in what we saw, really.
No.
And I wasn't ready to kick open a door and be like, ah, which is what I think, you know, I think that's what Zack Snyder tries to does with his films, which that's fine. But I don't know. I'm open. I don't have any negative, like real harsh negatives on it. You know, it's like it's a continuation of what he'd been doing.
Yeah. I know we saw this yesterday, but it is still cool to see that Frank Miller Dark Knight return, even though like I'm a person who's like, I've moved on past tanks, but it was cool to see that version of the Batmobile in a movie, regardless, you know, like it is, I can't lie. It's definitely fun seeing that in a Batman.
So, costume. And I asked this cause I'm not sure. And I know a lot about all of this. So, but I'll ask it I'm a little ignorant on something, I'll ask to be educated. I wonder, is this a retroactive addition to this film through CGI, or was it going to be in Zack's original cut? Was the Nightcrawler always going to be in? Is it taking the place of the Nightcrawler? You know, so.
I saw somebody retweet a member of the media, and they said that they did not, there was no mention of the Frank Miller Batmobile when they did their press junket back in 2017, 16. So it might be, I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the 70 million. That's going to be another part of this. That'll be interesting trying to figure out what is the difference between the Zack Snyder 2:14 cut and this cut of Justice League. Cause we all know there's been things added and Leto is one of them. I would imagine that,
yeah.
Whole sequence of Leto and Affleck at the end was a big part of the additional reshoots.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's part of it was, that was for sure. The whole, the whole nightmare scene. And speaking of that, I can't believe y'all knew that I knew, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't say a word. I've known for a long time. I can't believe that they revealed that new scene is a nightmare scene. And I am someone... I don't give, I mean, I have like no fucks left to give about watching this, but ooh, if someone, but someone who is like you two and other BOFers, did you not want to know that it was going to be a nightmare scene?
They like, I don't understand the point behind it because I don't see why giving that up is going to draw new subscribers to HBO Max.
It's
like that information right there. I mean, they could have just, when they released those two photos of Joker, just left it at that. We don't need context.
That's what I'm saying. Why not just leave it at that?
I mean, did we get images released before for movies and then an explanation of what the context of the scene is and what happens before? Like, no. So why the hell would they do that now? I don't understand I think it's all.
It's all part of the hype engine. We all know why this movie is happening. COVID-19 and HBO Max. So yeah. You're trying to get people to subscribe to the service. And what do people know about in DC Comics? Batman and the Joker. So you're again, it's kind of like the same reason the Joker was in Suicide Squad. Even though he was only in 7 minutes in the movie, he was all over the PR and the advertisements of that movie. Because it just, people know the Joker, even if he does kind of look like Reno's terms, Marilyn Manson. it's just something to get people's attention. The mainstream audience knows more about the Joker than they do about Darkseid. So it's
absolutely.
Just to get their focus.
Absolutely.
And the Nightcrawler is in this trailer. Like, I'm watching it right now. Okay. And so there's a lot of footage from the tunnel fight. It seems like the tunnel fight is pretty similar to what we've seen. So if you have to ask me where that Dark Knight Batmobile comes in, I feel like that Batmobile replaces the Batwing at the end of Justice League. You know, when at the end, when they give that monologue where all the heroes are in their place and they're all, you know, running off to save the day, and Batman shows up and the Batwing rises up as he's looking up at the bat signal. I feel like those two shots just swap.
Okay.
In my opinion, okay. That's just me taking a highly uneducated guess.
Now, okay. So not the Flying Fox, right?
No, I think the Flying Fox and I think the Flying Fox is in the movie and the Nightcrawler is in the movie because it's in the trailer, but I think they just swap out those two scenes.
Yeah. Because Whedon was filming stuff that was more kind of exposition type things, if that makes sense, to fill in the gaps, to make it what it was.
And I imagine the whole ending of that movie is all Joss Whedon.
And and there was really no, like the action scenes, I remember from covering this and from what people were telling me, they were just too expensive to F with and change when Whedon was doing the reshoots. It was more, it cost a lot of money, obviously, but it was more than...
Because if I'm not mistaken, the rumor I've heard is that the Lois Lane monologue at the end of 2017 was actually supposed to be Silas Stone, like speaking in a recording, I guess, or something to his son at some point, because we all know Silas dies. Like, they showed it in the original trailer.
Spoiler alert! Damn it!
It's not a spoiler! He showed it in his montage at Fandom. We all know Silas dies. So, that's what I've heard. Do I know it's true or not? I have no idea, but that's a rumor. So,
I've got a question for you, Bill. Riddle me this.
Yeah.
When we know that Snyder's original vision after BVS, it was reworked. When he was shooting this in 2016, while shooting it, had it already been condensed from two parts to one?
Oh yeah, that was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. If you remember, they had that big PR event in June of 2016, in the UK, and they sent a bunch of press over there, and they were like, they were. It's like, oh, this is gonna be way more fun than BVS, and we're gonna lighten it up. Am I lying or am I telling the truth?
No, I'm just laughing.
No, you are.
Yeah, this is what we saw today was much more fun than BVS. Yes. Like, kind of looks the same.
Yeah, and before that, leading up to BVS, and when we knew about Justice League, it was always going to be they made the point it's gonna be a two part film. Mm-hmm. And then when they go to the little, this press event, which is like it was like a panicked PR stunt by Warner Brothers at the time. Let's just call it what it is. The press asked about, is this going to be, is it still a two-parter? And it was like, and the answers they were getting is like, it was never going to be a two-parter, No, this is just, it just is, and we'll see what happens next,
Isn't this kind of the fourth version of this movie? Like, you've got the original version after BVS, and then you have the reworked version immediately after BVS, then you have the Whedon version, and now this version. So this movie, that's another thing. Like,
let me ask you this. Let me bring this up, because I'm curious about this. We know that Will Beall wrote a Justice League script.
He's credited on this one, too.
Yes. Exactly. So did he come in and help with rewrites for this film? Did they use part of his script because they needed to credit him because of that?
But didn't he write a Justice League movie that
has what? Yes.
This, all before
yes.
This?
Okay. Yes. He wrote a Justice League film that, ironically, Warner Brothers tried to get Ben Affleck to direct.
It was after George Miller's and then before Snyder.
It was before Man of Steel.
Okay.
But Man of Steel.
Interesting. I saw his name on the credits and I was like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, but Man of Steel was was still, it was coming. It was not like it hadn't happened yet. I mean, it was, it might've been before 2013.
So they maybe were still trying to do this like two movie.
It might've been 2012 ish. Cause that's okay. when Man of Steel was filming.
And then Nolan came in with his pitch and they ran with that.
And Nolan, you know, had came in, with, Man of Steel, which was Goyer's, really Goyer said something like, if I'm doing Superman, I'm doing it like this. And it was mm-hmm. like, do the first contact thing.
Yeah.
And then he and Chris wrote the story, Warner which Brothers.
Makes sense, coming off Dark Knight.
Yeah. And again, I remind everybody, I borderline love Man of Steel. I defend it. I'll watch it. It's in my top, for sure, in my top 10 of DC films. Great. So, yeah. I'm just curious if they used any of Will Beale's script where they had to credit him with this ZSJL, or did he come in and help polish?
That's interesting because like I know things about the George Miller Justice League. I don't know anything about Will Beale's Justice League.
Yeah.
I know it was in the works, but I don't know what the movie was about. So that's interesting. I wouldn't be able to figure out what was what.
He wrote the whole script and they were going to go that route. And
do you have any idea what that script was about?
I'm not sure. I don't, but I just know that they asked Affleck to direct and he turned it down. Hell, he turned down Nolan for Man of Steel. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah. Some interesting stuff there, you know?
It all comes full circle.
Exactly. I was about to say the same thing.
So the condensing to the one film, I asked because Bill, maybe you know this, and you won't reveal, and I wouldn't want you to anyway. But like for this movie, way back early on in Pete's show, Straight Out of Gotham, when they had me on, and we talked about this movie, which a day before they announced it was coming, I'd said that. It's not going to, it just doesn't feel like it would be, when the credits roll at the end, this movie is complete. We have a full, we're good movie done. It's going to feel like there's some threads that aren't tied. And it's like, well, that's freaking annoying. Any movie that leaves you without answers frustrates you. Mm-hmm. And especially if you never get those questions answered. And so that's just kind of been in my mind too, to just see, I'm curious how this will end, but it's going to frustrate the hell out of me if I'm enjoying it. And then it ends where we don't get the resolution.
I'm of the opposite mind. Cause I feel like no real comic book universe has an ending. I know Nolan tied his up in a pretty bow, but like what the hell happened to John Blake?
You like to say he the fell day off tomorrow. The roof
I like
first
to say
night on the job.
I like to say that grapnel gun attached to a building and he splattered all over a wall. Like what happened to Keaton's Batman? What happened to Clooney and O'Donnell? What happened to Tobey Maguire at the end of Spider-Man 3? Like, because I'm a comic book reader, because I'm obsessed with this stuff, to me it's like, well, what happened at the end of All-Star Batman and Robin by Miller and Lee? Like, you know, like these things never really have like a true ending. And to me, they all go on in my head. But like,
but those stories,
at some point, I can just be like, oh, well, oh, hey, look, that's coming. I'm just going to focus on that. Some people can't let things go. So,
but in those movies, the story they're telling in that movie ends up resolved. So sure, at the end of Spider-Man 3, it's kind of like what happens to Peter Parker and Mary Jane. But in that story, him facing the villains, there's a conclusion, his little internal struggle. Like that was over with. He stopped dancing, so that was a victory. But like here with Justice League, it's always been like, it's not like Darkseid was showing up from the very beginning. He was the main bad guy to the end, then that's it. So especially if the reshoots are this $70 million that they used, it just doesn't seem like they've brought in the whole Apocalypse to do all this so that there is Darkseid beginning to end concluded. It's always seemed as if Darkseid is teased in this Justice League to show up later on. And I don't know if this re-editing or whatever little pickups they did, if they're able to tie that thread at the end, and if they're going to leave little some chicken feed out for me to follow still at the end, it's going to be like, well, damn it. This is an incomplete vision to me. And that's going to be frustrating no matter how much I like the movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me answer Ryan, and then we can continue.
Yeah, I think I asked like 74 questions.
I think that since you at home who are listening and not watching, my two co-hosts probably got the answer from my facial expression, but I'll say this. I'm going to say this carefully. When Justice League was supposed to be a two-part film, Darkseid was supposed to be the villain of part two. And I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, boys. Kind of. Maybe the filmmakers, plural, are leaving it open-ended.
Purposely. Because
we
shouldn't have this version, so like that might push. Yeah.
Feel free to discuss. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I don't approve of a lot of actions and how this one got greenlit. There are a lot of things that I don't mind that people say and shared on the internet for nerddom and for certain aspects, I totally approve and I'm fine. There's also a lot on both sides of people acting like total assholes and entitled little pricks. Sorry, I'm getting very vulgar on your show, Bill.
This is a wide open. We can fucking cuss all we fucking want to on this show.
Jeez, it's funny how the Goomba from Jersey actually has a clean mouth. To me, I don't have an issue with those who were able to use the hashtags and, you know, discuss amongst themselves and try to rally together. It's the individuals who went around and spammed and harassed and insulted and tried to bully their way to get this done. I think there's two different groups involved here.
Yeah.
And as we know, the small, loud people usually outnumber and outweigh the voice of the good. And I think there are some good people involved in getting this thing done.
I concur.
I think that the toxic people now feel a little entitled, a little empowered, and I think they're a little disconnected from reality as to how this thing came about.
I think the toxic people are a bigger part of the... They're a bigger part of the minority than a lot of people want to admit. Yes. Yeah.
I think also there is a false idea of the number of people that are interested and even aware of Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Correct.
So I'm that's not to shit on anyone who's very excited for this movie and went about it the right way and everything. Good for them. I hope they love it. I hope Pete and I love it because this is something
I'm with you on
continuing
that.
What we've liked.
I hope y'all enjoy it. Yes.
I also think this movie has a huge uphill battle though. Like here's why I don't expect this thing to catch fire, because the very next day you have the juggernaut that is the MCU releasing Falcon and Winter Soldier the very next day. And everyone loves the MCU. It is adored. It has brand loyalty. It has a fan base that has turned the most boring and generic movies, Captain Marvel, into a mega event. Okay? It's regardless of what they release, people will talk and discuss. And then literally 8 days later, you have the Battle of the Titans in Kong versus Godzilla, which my mother is pumped for. Excited. She's talking about it. She can't wait. And she has no idea who Zack Snyder is, who Darkseid is, and what this movie's about. And she couldn't care less.
I know.
This movie has a very small amount of time to catch fire and turn the course. And I don't think it can.
I am. This is just empirical data. Y'all know I am a retired football coach teacher. I still sub at my wife's school up here in Frisco every time. And I ask kids, I listen to what they talk about. I've heard this last week, I did 3 days, and I heard a lot of them just, you know, side conversations talk about Kong versus Godzilla and then having arguments about, you know, Kong.
That's one trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that every kid in the school. I'm just saying, you know, and I have, this means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Let me preface by saying that I have not heard anyone talk about anything about Justice League, any of those kids. And that's, like I said, that's just empirical data. It doesn't mean anything. But from doing, from long as I've done this, Batman on Film, and as long as I've was a coach and teacher, and you know, I was in the classroom, I taught history, I could get a vibe on when kids were digging, you know, when it comes to stuff like that.
Are they talking about WandaVision?
Yes.
That's so that's another one. That you,
yes.
Again, Falcon Winter Soldier is weekly.
Yeah.
So again, it comes out next week, right off the hot heels of WandaVision. So everyone's talking about, well, what's going to happen next week with Falcon Winter Soldier?
I'll tell you this, that you brought that up because, okay, my wife, now it's Rachel, likes the Dark Knight trilogy. She likes Wonder Woman. She don't like any of the other shit. Okay.
Not even Aquaman.
She wasn't big on Aquaman.
Shirtless Momoa couldn't get Rachel. That's
why would she get fired? She's good. She's got me. Why does she give a shit about that? Momoa? I say that tongue in cheek. But she goes, what is WandaVision? She came and asked me, and I said, oh, it's a Marvel show on the Disney Plus. She said, my kids keep asking me, Miss Raimi, are you watching WandaVision? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I get some of this just, and again, it's not like a poll, and it's not, you know,
my mother for asked real. Me about WandaVision.
Yeah, I mean, that tells you. So.
So I'm like, there you go. Again, the MCU is a monster, and they've done it the right way, and they have their army. And
man, a lot of that.
I see a way to look at it is that we're like a, you know, we're spoiled with riches, and in that time period of within like a week and a half or 2 weeks, going to have this 4-hour Zack Snyder's Justice League. The next day, Falcon and the Winter Soldier series kicking off, and then you're going to have Kong versus Godzilla. So yeah, we've got three things that I'm going to watch all three. But it's just one, I just don't see one keeping up with the conversation and hype of the other two. And I think the one is Snyder's Justice League. And the other two coming after it means like, because people are ready for what's the next thing so often now. Like when they're done on the 18th, oh, look at the 19th. That's going to have the conversation until Kong Godzilla, in which I'm not saying Kong Godzilla is going to take over every topic on anything, but it's like... I just see us, okay, that happened, and then we just kind of move along.
Marvel versus DC thing, so you're splitting the fandom, right?
But yeah.
Kong and Godzilla are bringing both of those sides together. it is, because it's a versus movie, and everyone loves Kong and Godzilla, so it's a new thing. Warner Brothers had their shot, and that was BVS, and they had a chance to do it with BVS. Remember, everyone was pumped. Batman and Superman together on the screen for the first time.
Yeah.
And I've said this to Bill in previous vlogs. They screwed up BVS, but guess what? They aced it with this MonsterVerse. Godzilla got his two movies, Kong got his one movie, and they're fighting together, and everyone's talking about it. If they went about it this way with DC, they'd be in a completely different scenario, in my opinion, than they are right now.
Possibly, or if they listened to Chris Nolan and said, hey, make all the DC films you want. Don't worry about tying all these some bitches in together. Just make good movies. So anyway, that's a good topic to talk about. But... all right, final words here. Let me ask you this before I give you all the floor to leave out of here. Because you brought up Kong versus Godzilla. And then we know Wonder Woman 84 did drive some subscriptions to HBO Max, right?
Okay. And it got a sequel.
Okay. And we know that just based on what we've hearing, a lot of buzz, Kong versus Godzilla is going to drive some people to HBO Max. No, yes, no. What do you think? Okay. 100%. Is ZSJL going to drive people to?
He brought up his mom,
HBO Max.
Pete brought up his mom, so I'll bring up my mom.
Okay.
My mom didn't really even care about HBO Max, but signed up for Wonder Woman 1984 so she could watch it.
Okay.
Discontinued it.
Okay.
Has no inkling at all to reapply or log in again or anything like that to sign back up for it. She couldn't even tell you what Zack Snyder's Justice League is.
Okay.
I've told my fiance, we went for a long walk, and I broke down the whole situation to her.
Oh, she's a good, she's like Rachel, where she can, she's a good barometer of the gen
audience.
She
knows where I am in nerdiness, but she is a general audience. And she knows what WandaVision is. She hasn't started it yet, but she wants to watch WandaVision and ask me how WandaVision is. She's never asked me about Snyder's Justice League, even though I've told her all about it. And then I brought it up recently again, and she's never rude or anything. She's not dumb. She's just kind of like, I'm just kind of not interested. Because she watched BVS once and never wanted to watch it again.
I'll say this to y'all, because y'all know y'all are realists. You're not going to get offended. I mean, I don't see this mass subscription or subscribing to HBO Max for this Justice League, because number one, the general audience has no clue about any of the bullshit that went on all these years and years ago.
Not one idea.
They saw BVS, didn't really like it, and then didn't care to go see Justice League in the theater. It had nothing to do with Joss Whedon and the reshoots. They have completely clueless about it. With that said, I do hope it's successful, because it's DC, and I'm a DC guy. But I mean, I am not. No way I'm going to say, oh, this thing is going to take over social media, and it's going to be just this juggernaut. It's going to be like the Avengers film. It's going to be like the Dark Knight, Batman 89. Hell,
so you're saying it's a cult?
Yes, but it's not even on the level of WandaVision.
No.
This will get that group of fandom to sign up for HBO Max. Whatever the amount of people that tweet out that hashtag, or whatever hashtag is popular at the moment, that's the amount of people who will sign up and give HBO Max.
Yeah, and
but they're probably already signed up.
They're already signed up, I imagine.
Well, it's monthly, so they've been getting the money for 4 months now. You know,
And then they'll go ask their parents if they can subscribe for a month and then watch it, and then they'll cut it off.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I just
that's too harsh.
It's not as similar. It's similar and different from Batman Returns to Batman Forever, because like Batman Returns was a critically successful movie, but Warner Brothers didn't like it, so they went in a different direction. And then that movie was a big hit. Mm-hmm. You know, like BVS was financially successful, not critically. Then no one went to see Justice League because there's no time in between. It literally came out the next year.
Yeah.
So there was no time to breathe. And like you could tell from one trailer to another, from Returns of Forever, oh, these are different movies. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big difference between trying to mimic Anton First in Batman Returns to Barbara Ling in Batman Forever. It's just night and day. So, but this is the same stuff, you know, supposedly, and there's just no time to breathe. So it's just, they just had everything going against them for this. And I just, to me,
it was a cluster from the beginning. I'm one of those that said, because I lived it, Pete, I've talked about it to both of y'all. I lived that.
We were all there.
I lived that. I mean, literally was there with Warner Brothers and all that with BBS. And I'd never saw anything like that. And I'm of the thought they should have just pulled a freaking Superman Lives, yanked that thing, and then regrouped. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes any sense. Just regrouped.
No, I'm with you on that. I stood on either. Well, if they approved him to continue, then let him finish, because that's kind of what you signed
up for.
And I'm
with that, and I'm with that too. I mean, and if you didn't just pull a Superman Lives, then they should have just let it come out.
Yeah,
they had two options and they blew both of them.
They should have let it come out.
It's their money. They always get the last word. That's business. Yeah. That's business there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but when you make a decision, stick with it, or like just stick with your decision. And they try to do a little bit of both. And
it's a lot. Yes, they did. Yes, absolutely. I'll criticize the hell out of Warner Brothers for that. And you know, it's like elections. Elections have consequences. You know, put Zack Snyder Justice League out in the theater, and the people will determine. The audience will determine. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there would be any difference, frankly. From what we, you know, as far as performance and box office and money, if it had happened, but you know, we'll never know because that didn't happen. All right, so you two guys have the final word and plug, and also plug whatever you want to plug, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm gonna watch it. I plan on, I believe from what I've heard, this is gonna drop at like 3 a.m. on the 18th. So 9:30 Eastern time, I'm starting Man of Steel. I'm gonna run it all the way through BBS and Justice League, and I'm gonna get the whole trilogy in, and that's it. And I'll judge it after that. But you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Zack Snyder's favorite, Vero, at Pete Illustrated. Please follow my show that I co-host with the Champion of Long Island, Straight Out of Gotham, on Twitter and Instagram at @straight_o_g. Please follow our Facebook pages and our Facebook group, Straight Out of Gotham. A lot of fun discourse there. I'm trying to funnel all you BOFers to that part of the internet. So I'm doing my best. Very unsuccessful. So you guys got to get moving on that. But we have a good time over there. We have Lauer on. We got to get Bill on the show and
just do
some fun stuff and just talk about
things. But I like to come on. I ask and then I have to go kick rocks down the road because
I got to get you on. Our schedules don't meet up.
I know.
You wake up early and you go to bed early. I don't do either of those.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Ryan.
For me, I'm still looking forward to this. Even some of my, I think, valid criticisms of it, I'm still looking forward to it. I hope I end up really loving the movie. Today's trailer didn't change me either way. I was going to watch the damn thing March 18th when it was released, no matter what. But I'm hoping for the best because it's a continuation of stuff that I do enjoy. And if you want to follow me, you can follow my show, The Batman Book Club, the podcast. It's on Twitter at The Batman BC. The last episode launched was from our BOF boy, Garrett Grev, Minnesota's finest. And actually dropping tomorrow is Mr. Peter Vera to talk about whatever happened to the Caped Crusader. So it'll be available wherever you get podcasts.
Nice.
And read my reviews on BOF.
Yes, that too.
Next Batman is coming up on Tuesday, number four.
You're also the host of the BOF Chronicles, right?
I am. Yeah, with some Texan.
Yes.
And some Texan fella.
It's not Dick Shoes, for sure.
It is not Dick Shoes, no.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Batman on Film. And I will also... That Twitter, I will say things, you know, just it comes off my head, comes out of my mouth sometimes. If you want just straight Batman news feed, the BOF news feed, at the Batman on Film is just links to what we do here, all of us here on Batman on Film. We do have a new newsletter comes out every Sunday that recaps the week. So if you go to Batman on Film proper and you look up at the top, you'll see newsletter. Go there and sign up, please. And it is currently 14 degrees in the North Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we have a blizzard coming today. And it snowed all last night. Can you believe that shit?
How much snow did you get?
That's Chicago weather.
About 2 inches.
Jeez, I wish I had 2 inches of snow.
And the this afternoon, they're predicting 4 to 6 inches. And then, dude, it hasn't been above freezing since last weekend. I'm
still shocked Texas gets cold. Like I thought,
yeah, me too.
I know. I've told y'all. Yes, it does get cold. I mean, not cold like you know my second home state, Minnesota, cold. But you know, this is. My wife's from Minnesota. She's like, this is like fucking Minnesota, you know? And then it's not going to be above freezing until like Friday or Saturday. And then Wednesday, we're getting another winter storm with snow all day. So it's nuts. Absolutely nuts. And then in a few months, it's going to be 100 freaking 10 degrees here. So talk about one extreme to the next. Something that's all happens. I got. That's all I got. So anything else, boys? Anything?
No.
Booyah.
Yeah, booyah. Check out my review to Dr. Detective.
That's my favorite. You know, I'm scrapping that. I'm scrapping authoritative, definitive, the Dadgum original and just go Batman on Film, booyah.
I beat you to it. I've been doing it on my podcast for months now.
All right. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed your beverages, whatever that was. Thanks for listening to the Batman Social Hour, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.
You have been listening to the official podcast of the one and only Batman on Film website. On Twitter, follow BOF at Batman on Film and the Batman Podcast Network at BatPod Network. For Jet and everyone at Batman on Film, I'm announcer Rachel. thanks for listening to the authoritative, definitive, the original Batman on Film.